justice, Lord, for the people of Mozambique. Lord, we want to pray, Lord, for Claire Grimble, Father, as she continues in her course, Lord Jesus. I pray you'll be blessing her and sustaining her with everything she needs. And Lord, I pray that you're going to be speaking to her about her return to the mission field, Lord, and opening up a way, Lord. You are the Lord who opens doors no one else can open, Father, and shuts doors no one else can shut. And we thank you for that. Lord, we pray for Christians in countries who can't freely express their joy this day. But Lord, we pray that inner joy and peace and freedom will be so much greater than the darkness that surrounds them, Father God. Lord, thank you that you are victorious in their lives, Lord. We remember especially brothers and sisters in Egypt after the attacks, Lord, last Sunday. Father God, I pray that as they continue to make sense of that, Lord, and piece together lives that have been broken and shattered, Lord God, may their celebrations this day be filled with your resurrection power, Lord, your resurrection life, Lord Jesus, that supernatural grace, Lord God, that isn't dependent on surrounding circumstances and trials that we're experiencing. Lord God, we remember our brothers and sisters in the churches here in Battle celebrating this morning. Lord, renew your church, Lord God. Pour out your spirit, Lord God. May your kingdom come in our town and our community. Oh, Lord, we are just so excited to be part of your church here. We're so excited to be part of what you're doing. Lord God, renew us, Lord. Bring revival starting in our hearts in this room this day. And Lord God, may there be a change in the atmosphere here, Lord, because you are at work. Oh, Lord, we want more of your presence, Lord God, more of your power, Lord Jesus. Lord, and we pray for our brothers and sisters who can't be here this morning. Lord, we think especially of Alma, Father God, and her family. Lord, today, may Alma know that you are everything that she needs, Lord God. You are mighty in her life and in her family. You are the God who is faithful and has never let her down, Lord Jesus. And may you pour out your presence and your peace upon her this day. And Lord God, we just thank you that we can bring all of our prayers to you because Jesus has died. He has made the way. We can boldly approach the throne of grace. And Lord, your spirit empowers us, your people, to carry out his mission here on earth. In Jesus' name, amen. Father God, thank you for Ed as he brings your word to us this morning, Lord. And Lord, I pray that you would pour out your spirit upon him, Lord God, and give us ears to hear what you have to say to us. Lord, may we hear this glorious gospel afresh. And Lord God, may it challenge and stir and change our hearts this morning by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
I want to
wish you all a very happy Easter.
Yeah, thank you.
Are you excited?
Yeah.
I'm excited. There's a buzz, I think, about this day. It's a day, as we were reflecting upstairs, we were praying beforehand, a day that maybe we've come to many times before. Maybe a day that we know the passages that we're going to read, and we know the songs that we're going to sing, and we know the fact that he has risen seems to go on for an eternity. But it's brilliant, isn't it? Because that's what part of this day is about. It's about remembering that Jesus didn't stay dead, he rose again. And that should capture within us a joy that means if you can't sit still right now, that's okay. You know, if you're fidgeting around because there's something inside you that's just buzzing up. Maybe it's just me, I don't know. But that's what I believe Easter is all about. I want to invite you to turn to Matthew 28. Mark read the opening passage earlier as we began our time this morning. I'm going to be reflecting on Matthew 28. And some of the impact, really, I suppose, of that first Easter day. And maybe, I suppose, I want you to imagine for a moment, what would it have been like if you were one of the 11 on that first Easter day waking up? I mean, obviously, it wouldn't have been Easter day then, it probably wouldn't have actually felt like any kind of day to them. There would have probably been this numbness within them. The events of the last few days would have been no doubt spinning in their heads as they'd begun to regroup and gather again, maybe coming in dribs and drabs, maybe slightly concerned that someone might be following them, and will they kind of get caught up in this anymore? If they gathered in that place, there might have been that unspoken atmosphere of just, or something. This uneasy silence, perhaps. Maybe this sense of, well, there's things I want to say, but I'm not going to say them. Well, I'm going to say them under my breath, maybe, because what did you do in that moment? Why were you there? And why didn't you? And so on and so forth. And I can almost imagine it kind of bubbling under the surface as they'd come back together. Unsure. Well, what do we actually do next? Where do we actually go from here? Trying to put ourselves in their place. I was trying to think of examples we could relate to. Maybe it's waking up that morning after you had that phone call the night before, that having found your perfect house in the perfect location with everything that you want in it, you've been gazumped at the 11th hour, and it's gone. And it's all been signed, sealed, and you're waking up in that morning with that feeling inside you of like, but it was just so perfect. It was just going to be so good. Maybe it's a sense that you followed your football team or your sports team, and everyone said they were never going to make it. And they made it to the final and it was glorious and they were even 4-0 up at half time, but then it all just went wrong and you're waking up the morning after thinking, oh, it could have been, couldn't it? Maybe it's that feeling where you're waking up because the night before you had a conversation with a friend and they were sharing with you how you really let them down. You said you'd be there for them, but you weren't. Only it was one of those conversations where they didn't scream and shout at you, they just said it quietly and plainly, which is almost worse. And you're waking up with that sinking feeling in your stomach, that aching that you can't quite describe. I wonder whether that would have been something what they would have been experiencing that first Easter day as they came to. Interestingly, totally unaware of what was taking place elsewhere in Jerusalem at that point. Dawn on the first day of the week. It's Mary and Mary go to the tomb. It's over. It's ended. The hope that they thought was there is no longer there. And so they're going to the tomb. And as they're traveling, there's this violent earthquake, we read. And an angel of the Lord comes down from heaven, rolls back the stone, and says to them, "He is not here. He is risen. Go and tell his disciples." And so they rush off. They head off to find them and to tell them that it's not all that they thought. That something is going on here. And they meet Jesus on the way. And he says to them these words. He says, "Do not be afraid. Tell my brothers to go to Galilee and they will see me." And everything changes. Everything suddenly looks slightly differently. There's that, almost imagine that disbelief, but yet that magnificent belief as they met Jesus on the way to go and tell the disciples the news. Reminded me of the events of 2010, of the Chilean mining accident. You had, for 69 days, 33 men were trapped 700 metres underground, 5 kilometres from the mine entrance. It was this scenario, many, you probably watched it and saw it on the news, this sense of there's just no hope here. But imagine that moment when they finally came out into sunlight, when they finally felt fresh air against their faces. would have been maybe just a fraction of what these two women would have been experiencing as they met Jesus that day. It's interesting, Matthew doesn't directly recount the women reaching the disciples. He doesn't kind of detail that conversation. It takes place off the page, so to speak, somewhere before verse 16. But what a conversation it would have been. What an opportunity to share that news for the very first time. I don't know if you've ever had the opportunity of sharing the truth of Jesus with someone, but imagine if you were the first person to do it. I mean, that'd just be awesome, wouldn't it? There'd be no kind of, well, this is how you've got it, it's got to be done, you know. There'd be no kind of, this is the script you've got to follow. They just blurted out, wouldn't they, of this joy and this excitement because of what they just witnessed. Because if we look at the events of Good Friday, as we did on Friday, and I kind of compared them, if you will, to the first difficult movie that no one really wants to make, because it ends on this almighty cliffhanger that if the studio don't greenlight a sequel, it's just going to leave everyone really rather dejected and fed up and wanting their money back. If that's the Good Friday story, the Easter Day story is that sequel that sets up the ongoing adventures that are going to run and run and run. We're talking kind of, you know, multiple picture deals here. We're talking TV miniseries. We're talking audiobooks. We're talking the works. Because there is no end to the good news and the ongoing story of what Jesus did. And that means right up to today, that story continues. Every single one of us, if we know Jesus, needs to be working through. So how am I going to continue to take this good news that these two women would have shared with those disciples? How am I going to play my part as part of God's creation? Jesus said to the woman, he said, "Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid." The words that are spoken numerous times throughout Scripture. Mary and Joseph are told those words, the foretelling of the birth of Jesus. The shepherds are, and many other times that you could look at. And there's this ongoing theme in many respects when they're used, this kind of, well, the supernatural can seem a bit way out at times. To suddenly be, you know, confronted with an angel of the Lord might appear a little shocking. And so instantly there's this line of, do not be afraid. And I think I've shared before, certainly the way my mind works, I can imagine the kind of angel training school. And there's certain phrases that they've got to really know by rote. And there's certain actions they've got to do, you know, kind of the way they hang their wings or whatever. But this sense that whenever you meet someone, you're probably going to need to say, do not be afraid, because they're probably going to be afraid. It's just how it's going to work, guys. And this is what you've got to do. And to these women, Jesus being there would have probably appeared a bit way out. He'd died. He'd been placed in a tomb. Everything that he'd been talking about, that they'd heard, they'd seen, had seemingly gone nowhere. It actually, from all intents and purposes, achieved nothing. Today, in an earthly world that's fast seeking to undo itself, where, you know, I mean, just pick a headline from the last week. Look at the ones this morning. It's not a great place in many ways with some of the stuff that's going on. It'd be very easy to be afraid, to panic, to lose hope. And the reality is that Jesus didn't come to earth. He didn't die and rise again so that we could all have an easy life. He didn't do that so we can all sit back in comfy armchairs or on deck chairs on beaches or whatever we prefer, you know, and just enjoy life. He didn't say, you know, follow me and it's all going to be easy and neat and tidy and you won't have anything to worry about. Because we've still got to grapple with life. And following Jesus isn't the wide open road. It's the narrow one. But that doesn't mean we need to be afraid. as we were praying upstairs, capturing this sense of, you know, the joy of today. And I wonder whether maybe we're here this morning and we're singing the songs and we're engaging with it all, but actually our lives are lives of fear because of the things that we see, whether in other countries, maybe within our own. Maybe some of the challenges that you're facing actually are things that just bring that trepidation to you. I really believe God would want to say, no, that's not what today is about. Today is about that ultimate joy, that ultimate hope, that ultimate life that is bigger than anything. Doesn't mean all those challenges and trials will just disappear, but that as we face them, Jesus will be there right beside us, and we need not be afraid. What's more, though, as we read on the account, Matthew 28, verse 11 and following, not only are we not to be afraid, but I believe we're to set the record straight. 11 to 15, the guards report. Matthew details this kind of, you know, elsewhere in Jerusalem moment. Things weren't going quite to plan for the chief priests. When this report comes in that, you know, an angel had, or something had shown up and the tomb's opened and he's not there and all this sort of going on. And so they try and kind of quash any sort of rumours that might start to get out. And they said, well, we're just going to set... It was his disciples. They came and they stole the body because they wanted to kind of build on these things that he'd been saying. So this is what you're going to say. This is the line that you're going to give to anyone and everyone probably who asks you, and even those who don't. This is what we want you to be communicating. And so they pay off the guards to spread these false stories, trying to fabricate a new truth. But the truth is, Jesus is alive. And that's the message that we need to be spreading. That's the message that we need to be sharing. That's the message that we need to be shouting from the rooftops, whatever that might look like for you. Part of our challenge today, though, is that I think if we actually reflect on it, it's not that many people have a certain mindset about Easter. Well, obviously, you know, thinking like, well, it was the disciples, I think. Many people's ideas of Easter are about the fact, wow, they get a four-day weekend. This is good, isn't it? Yeah, I'll take that. You can do your crazy stuff because I get an extra couple of days off work. And I can eat loads of chocolate because it's one of those times in the year where we kind of turn everything on its head, and rather than saying chocolate's really bad and you shouldn't eat lots of it, we suddenly go, yeah, no, eat loads of it. So I get holiday, I get chocolate. You know, it's all coming together, really, isn't it? And looks like we've even got a bit of nice weather today, so we're getting the triple whammy, which is not often at Easter, I'm aware. But for many people, that's what it is. I think sometimes we can become a bit too blasé that they do know what Easter is really about. And they do know the impact it can have in their lives. So then how are we going to set the record straight and make sure we take those opportunities to communicate the truth of the Easter story? So, as the passage draws to a close at the end of chapter 28, we can play our part in taking the message forward, in pressing on into all that God has ahead of us. Those verses 16 to 20. Verses that, for me personally, have been a real word from God for many years. When I believe God, as a teenager, gave me that heart of an evangelist, of wanting to share Jesus with the lost, to those who don't know him. As I read it preparing for this morning, though, it's really struck me that I probably wouldn't have played it out like that. Now, I know I'm not Jesus, so that's probably why I wouldn't have played it out like that. But I don't want to give these disciples a piece of my mind, personally. Because not long ago, they just... Well, it says in chapter 26, verse 56, then all the disciples deserted him and fled. It wasn't a case that they kind of backed off a little bit or hung around in the shadows. They made a run for it. But yet Jesus, we see here, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. He doesn't tear a strip off them. He doesn't berate them. I mean, I'm sure there would have been a bit of kind of those greetings and that sort of thing that Matthew doesn't write down here. But he commissions them. He says, this is the part I want you to play. It hasn't changed. This is what I came to do. In time, you'll finally get this. Because you haven't really got it up till now. And probably at this point, they're still kind of wondering what's going on. But Jesus is saying, this is the part that I've got for you to play. To share my truth. To share the ultimate hope. And to go out and do that. To see this world won for the kingdom of God. And I wonder whether sometimes, as I reflected in the newsletter, Easter can kind of appear out of nowhere and we can very quickly just kind of put it back wherever it went within a few days. You know, come Tuesday, well, you know, schools will start again, sorry. You know, you might have to go back to work, sorry. You know, and all these sorts of things, and life will begin again, the shopping, all those sort of stuff, and suddenly Easter as well, we've done that again for this year. Whereas actually the impact that this should have in our lives should stir us to action, should set that joy within us day after day after day after day. And not something that we kind of set within us ourselves, but because we continue to come back to God to seek his Holy Spirit power in our lives, enabling us to do all that he has ahead of us. I wonder if you could, for a moment, just imagine with me, if you're one of the 11. Only imagine you're waking up on the first Easter Monday morning. Obviously it wouldn't have been Easter Monday morning. But what would that morning have felt like? A lot happened over the last few days. Imagine your head would be in a bit of a spin probably. Imagine there would have still been this general sense of not quite sure what's going to come, where we're going to go, what this is going to lead to. But there would have been this sense of wonder, of awe, a little bit of trepidation perhaps, but this excitement of what was unfolding around us. The exciting thing is that's the same for us today. Jesus rose from the dead 2,000 years ago, give or take. But he's alive again today. And each of us can step up, respond to him, and live our lives in the light of that ultimate truth.